This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So we'll continue, inshallah, our discussion about Sifatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And before I begin, the bottles from Da'wanet are available downstairs for both brothers and sisters. So if you didn't get your own already, then you can take one on the way out. This will help you save some water, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan. So, it's downstairs, inshallah. So, when you read the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, you see what his brothers did to him. And I always tell people, subhanAllah, like one time I was going someplace, Scarborough, I believe, to give a talk, and it was Kitchener. And they said that we were not able to bring enough people because there was another event and the community was split, and I told them that the numbers don't really mean anything, at least to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at the story of Musa alayhi salam, he had one brother, Harun, who supported him all the way. Yusuf alayhi salam had 11, 10 of them, they were nothing but trouble. They tried to kill him and so on and so forth. So the numbers don't mean anything. Until or unless you have dedicated people with you, the numbers don't mean anything. So in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, his brothers were jealous because they think their father was not fair. And maybe we'll talk about this some other time. This is what they assumed. They tried to kill him, they threw him in the well, he was sold into slavery, and so on and so forth. And in the tafsir, it was his own brothers who sold him. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. They sold him for a few worthless coins. This is according to many mufassirun. After the people got him out of the well, his brothers came and they said, he is ours. If you want to take him, you have to pay. And they paid him a few silver, worthless silver coins. And of course, he ended up being sold into slavery. He ended up in jail. And subhanAllah, when they needed something from the Aziz, قَالُوا أَرْسِلْ مَعْنَا أَخَانَا عَشَانِ الْمَصْلَحَةِ. They said, send our brothers with us. But when their brother Benjamin stole, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا إِنَّا بِنَكَ سَرَقْ. They have nothing to do with him now because there's no maslaha for them. They tried to distance themselves. But subhanAllah, they did a lot of injustice in the story. But the thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paid them back in kind. They sold him for a few worthless coins. And at the end of the story, وَجِئْنَا بِبِضَاعَةٍ مُزْجَةٍ. They were desperate. They were on their knees, begging for food. And the only money they had with them is a few worthless coins. The same amount they sold him for 40 or 80 years earlier, according to different tafsir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala paid them back in kind. So the topic for today is Adlullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's justice. And before I begin by talking about the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will mention another story. But before we do this, we have to define, there is something very special about the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Adl. If you look at the different names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're adjectives. Al-Kareem, Al-Rahim, the most generous, the most forgiving, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to Al-Adl, it's not actually an adjective. It is probably the only name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's a noun. He is not just. He is justice itself. Okay? Imagine with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not describe himself as the most just. He describes himself as justice itself. لا يسمي نفسه عادلا ولكن يسمي نفسه العدل itself. He is the embodiment of justice. Like when you say in English, you don't say someone is rich. You say he is richness itself. You don't say someone is healthy. He is health itself. Like he is the peak. He is the prime of that category. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself as just. Or justice in this case. So this is the story of Muhammad ibn Abi al-Fadl. He was a good man living at the time of al-Mansur al-Khalifa. So al-Mansur had an assistant. His name was Ajif, and he was a tyrant like al-Hajjaj and some other tyrants. So Ajif was a tyrant. So he hired Muhammad ibn Abi al-Fadl to run his farms, to take care of them. يعني زي خولي أو حاجة زي كده. And because someone wanted to take Muhammad ibn Abi al-Fadl's job, he yani washa washin, he went to Ajif, the assistant of al-Mansur, and said, this guy, Muhammad ibn Abi al-Fadl, he is cheating you because he wanted to take his job. So he said, he's cheating you, you have to punish him, or other people will do the same and they cheat you. So Muhammad ibn Abi al-Fadl said, Ajif did not investigate. He just took me, he told his guards, go bring him from the farm and tie him and humiliate him and bring him in front of me. And he said, kill him. What? I didn't do nothing. I was fair. Wallahi, I was honest. I didn't do anything. So when he made the judgment right away, there's no court, there's no jury, there's no defense, there is no lawyers. He said, he cheated me, kill him on the spot. فَأَقُولْ مُحَمَّدْ إِبْنَ أَبِي الْفَضْلُ وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ تَبَوَّلْتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. He urinated, he peed himself. أَجَلَّكُمُ اللَّهِ. Because he was not expecting it. He was not doing anything. Then his servant came when he said, kill him. And they were getting ready to kill him. So his servant said, dinner is served. We don't want to waste the time. The food, the biryani will get cold. So we better eat now than kill him later. So they threw him in jail. And Muhammad ibn Abi al-Fadl, he said, wallahi, he forgot about me. So he stayed in jail for several years. And he said, until I got the news that Ajif died. He forgot me completely. Allah made him forget me. So he said, I left the jail after so many years, and I heard that Ajif died. I left that area altogether where the prison was. And he said, I was moving out, and on the way, I stopped for to do my salah. He said, you know, they didn't have washrooms or anything, so he came under a tree and he urinated, relieved himself. And he said, I was getting ready to make my wudu, and someone called me, someone was passing by, and he said, you know what you just did? You urinated on someone's grave. And I said, okay, what is the story? Why is someone buried here? They don't have graveyards here. He said, no. What happened, Al-Mansur had an assistant by the name of Ajif. Someone wanted to take his job, so they went to Al-Mansur and said, Ajif is cheating you. So Al-Mansur came without a court, without juries, without lawyers, and he killed him. And they brought him here, and they killed him in this spot, and they buried him under the tree. And you actually were urinating on his grave. فَقَالْ وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ عَجِبْتُ مِنْ بَوْلِي أَمَامَهُ وَمِنْ بَوْلِي عَلَيْهِ. He said, wallahi, I was astonished to know that he made me urinate like pee myself, and that Allah made me pee on him. Like, this is total justice, because the man was unjust to me. I know the story is dramatical, and it may hurt some of you, but to show you how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would pay people in kind, if they are unjust to someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would pay them back in dunya and in akhirah. The last thing I want to say, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about justice and speaks about yawm al-qiyamah and how people would be rewarded or punished based on what they did in this dunya, one thing we know for sure about Adlullah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he always speaks about the future in the past. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ رَبَّهُمْ وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَأُدْخِلَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who know the Arabic language, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the future and how his adl, his justice will be exercised, he speaks in the past. Why? The ulama say, because his justice is established in the future for a fact. It is as if it has already happened in the past. It will never be changed. So it is as if it already happened in the past, right? So this is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way I see it, subhanAllah, this dunya, one day for Allah is like 1,000 years of our time. So this dunya, when Allah speaks about this life and akhirah, it is as if dunya is over, justice is established. Because the fact is, there are so many tyrants and wicked people in this world, justice will never be served to them. Do you think Tony Blair will get justice in this world? Do you think George Bush will get justice? Do you think Trump will get justice? And some of our tyrants, Mubarak, Musharraf, all these tyrants will get justice in dunya? Some of them live like kings. Wallahi, there is no justice. Usually justice is applied to poor people, but if you are rich, you are a leader, justice will never be served. And this is why Qiyamah will happen, so Allah will give justice to people. And one of the beautiful qualities of Akhirah in the Quran, خَافِضَةُ الرَّافِعَةِ. It will put everyone in their place. The wicked will go down a big time, and the good people, they will go up their rightful place. So for me, this dunya and Akhirah, I'm going to put it in a movie terminology to make it easy for people to understand. This dunya is like a 1-hour movie. So for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the movie is over, justice is done, everyone is actually in their place in Jannah. Those who are going to Jahannam, they're actually in their place in Jahannam, and this is why Allah speaks in the past. So justice is already served. But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this life, which is like a movie, is already over, but we are watching it in slow motion. So this 1 hour movie is taking us thousands of years. But everyone is in their place in Jannah or Jahannam already, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking in the past. So if you have been treated unjustly, if you are from Afghanistan, the Soviets abused you, if you are from Syria and Iraq and the Americans abused you, if you are from Palestine and the people abused you, then know for sure that justice will be served, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only just, He is justice. Justice. So always keep this in mind, and this will give you hope in the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll continue tomorrow, inshallah. So the question for last night, Musa alayhi salam said in the Quran that he is the first believer in Surah Araf, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that he was the first believer, and it's very simple, there is no contradiction. Every prophet is the first believer in his ummah. Before you are able to convince people about the truth that you have, you have to be convinced yourself. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa was the first believer in his ummah. Musa alayhi salam was in his ummah. And Isa and Ibrahim and every prophet was the first in his ummah. And the winner is brother Tariq Rifai. Takbir. Barakallahu fiqh. Jazakallahu khair. Now the question, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa is told in the Quran, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتْ لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ. Allah tells him in the Quran, Hidayah is not in your hands. Hidayah is in the hands of Allah. So how come at the end of Surah Shura, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. You are guiding people to the straight path. So how do you explain this? Does he guide or he doesn't guide? So if you know the answer, email me before tomorrow Asr at Imam Mustafa at AnatoliaCenter.ca. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.